So I'll read the translation and the purport. Thereupon that man who spoke on different subjects with thousands of meetings and who fought on thousands of battlefields and protected thousands of men stopped speaking and, being completely freed from all bondage, withdrew his mind from everything else and fixed his wide open eyes upon the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who stood before him, four-handed, dressed in yellow garments that glittered and shined. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the momentous hour of leaving his material body, Bhishmadev set the glorious example concerning the most important function of the human form of life. In italics, the subject matter which attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. Therefore, if one is absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, he is sure to go back to Godhead without any doubt. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 5th through 15th verses. Number 5. And whoever at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Text 6. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Text 7. Thereafter, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Number 8. He who meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, Arjuna, is sure to reach me. Text 9. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and being transcendental is beyond this material nature. Text 10. One who, at the time of death, fixes his life air between the eyebrows, and in full devotion engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 11. Persons learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. Text 12. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. Text 13. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Text 14. For one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. And 15. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. That was the end of the Gita verses. The rest of the purport. Sri Bhishmadev attained the perfection of quitting his body at will and was fortunate enough to have Lord Krishna, the object of his attention, personally present at the time of death. He therefore fixed his open eyes upon him. He wanted to see Sri Krishna for a long time out of his spontaneous love for him. Because he was a pure devotee, he had very little to do with the detailed performance of yogic principles. Simple bhakti yoga is enough to bring about perfection. Therefore, the ardent desire of Bhishma Dev was to see the person of Lord Krishna, the most lovable object. And by the grace of the Lord, Sri Bhishma Dev had this opportunity at the last stage of his breathing. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Vatale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dramani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachanini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatade Swami Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakti Vina Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the glorious passing of Bhishma Dev. Many different pastimes are spoken about in the Mahabharata with Bhishma Dev. Of course, this is his last pastime in the after the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna had, with the Pandavas, come to see him, and Yudhisthira had just questioned him about lots of different subject matters, and the time was right. The constellation of the sun and everything was at the right time. So Bhishma Dev, who had been blessed by his father to die whenever he wanted to, he chose the right time in lots of different ways, because Lord Krishna was personally present, and the Pandavas were present, and he was ready to go back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada starts off here in the purport. In the momentous hour of leaving his material body, Bhishma Dev set the glorious example concerning the important function of the human form of life. The subject matter which attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. So Prabhupada would often quote this verse, Ante Narayana Smriti, to remember the Lord at the end of life, is the goal of our human life, to prepare ourselves for that time. So this is the example of Bhishma Dev, which is very famous, naturally, because he was such a famous person. He's one of the 12 Mahajans of the universe, one of the 12 teachers of Krishna consciousness throughout the universe. And Srila Prabhupada often quoted the verse, Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta, and would quote the different names of the Mahajans. So this was kind of a painful verse for me to first read, because this is one of the thing, one of the verses we meditated on when Srila Prabhupada left, was this passing away of Bhishma Dev, one who spoke thousands of verses, protected thousands of men. It was one of the verses that we were meditating on when Srila Prabhupada left. And of course, here in London was the last place that Srila Prabhupada came to the West before he went back to Vrindavan and left this world. So this is a very special place, and this subject matter was very special, and Srila Prabhupada spoke so much about leaving the body and preparing ourselves for the next life. Because our tendency in this material world is to be distracted by material desires and distracted by so many different necessities, and therefore not focusing as much as we could on our future life. Our future life, we know now that all of your devotees sitting in this room, we've all been here, some of us for many, many, many years, and some for just a few years. And we've heard this philosophy many, many times about how we're not this body and how, you know, it's temporary, and how the goal of life is to remember Krishna. But this particular verse, Prabhupada's concentrating on the Bhagavad Gita verses about actually fixing one's mind. So our goal as devotees is to gradually purify ourselves by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So our chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended in the Nectar of Instruction, that we chant very carefully these sweet names every day. And just by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, the disease of illusion is destroyed from our hearts. So we don't have the potency to purify our hearts necessarily. We're conditioned souls. We've forgotten our relationship with Krishna. But Krishna has the potency to purify us if we try, right? If we're sincere. By serving the spiritual master gives us a name of Krishna, and he gives us the responsibility of chanting 16 rounds without offense. So our chanting is our central focus, and our deity worship is our central focus, because we want to purify ourselves through the hearing of the holy name and chanting of the holy names, and through the process of purification of worshiping and honoring the Lord in his archa incarnation. So Bhishma Dev was fortunate enough to have Krishna right there. So our devotees, we've seen so many different devotees over the since Prabhupada left, leave their bodies even before that. And as Srila Prabhupada said in his example, he was in Vrindavan and he was surrounded by kirtan. All the devotees, all the loving devotees were there. And so many devotees tried to make it to Vrindavan to hear about Krishna and to absorb themselves in Krishna. So this is our goal. Our goal is to not dally or rot in the material world, as Prabhupada would say sometimes, but it's to prepare ourselves for that time when we're getting close to the time of death, so that we can think of the different pastimes of Krishna and become absorbed in the holy names of Krishna, like Bhishma Dev did. Bhishma Dev was on the bed of arrows. We have to remember that situation he was in. He wasn't just on a bed. He explained to the Pandavas how he could be defeated and how he would put down his weapons if Shikhandi, who was Amba in the last life, would approach him in front of the chariot. So he put down his weapons. Arjuna filled him full of arrows. He fell on the ground. So he's on a bed of arrows. He's not on some comfy bed anywhere. And there's a lot of pain there. Who can even imagine what that must feel like, being filled with arrows? Yet he was addressing all the great sages that came there. All the great sages from the universe came there with Krishna, and they were all there honoring Bhishma Dev and hearing from him. So we have to somehow mentally prepare ourselves for that time. And Prabhupada said we could die today or tomorrow, right? It's either one or the other. It's not tomorrow, it's the next day, right? We don't know. So there's many examples of different personalities in our movement and in the Bhagavatam who are in precarious situations. One of the famous ones is Gajendra, the elephant. He was battling a crocodile. He was losing the battle in the water, but somehow he was a great king in his previous life named Indradumna, and he memorized some shlokas. So at the time when he was about ready to, he thought it was his end with the crocodile, he somehow was praying, and somehow all these shlokas came to his mind, and he began to pray to the Lord, and he picked a lotus flower, and then the Lord came riding down on Garuda, hearing his prayers. So he offered the flower, and then the Lord touched him and cut the head off the crocodile. And there's so many different examples of devotees who are at the time of death, some successful, some not successful. Bharat Maharaj, he was very successful. He left his kingdom and he was very advanced in ecstasy of, wasn't on the perfect stage of love of Godhead, but he was very, very advanced. But somehow he became distracted by a deer. So he became a deer in his next life, then Judd Bharat. So, we don't know what's going to happen. So all we can do is keep chanting and keep praying to Krishna to accept us as his devotee, so that at the time of death, Krishna in the Sri Yuga Upanishad, there's a verse where the devotee's praying, please, Lord, remember all that I have done for you. It may seem like a interesting prayer that we normally don't pray like that, but at the time of death, Prabhupada quotes this verse that Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Pancharantam, that at the time of death, we may be full of mucus and all kinds of problems may be happening and may be so painful that we can't think of Krishna. So then what are you going to do? Then we have to just depend on Krishna himself. That whatever we've done, so that's why the devotee's praying, please Krishna, remember what I've done for you, my life, and please save me. So the devotees realize after some time of performing devotional service that Krishna is definitely taking care of us. He's definitely protecting us, and we don't really have to worry that much. We just have to keep trying, and we know Krishna's going to take care of us. At the time of death, so many of you are from the Dham. I'm seeing so many people leave in the Dham and here also. A good friend of mine, which I don't know if some of you may have known him, Urjaswat Das. He was from New York, originally from Houston. He was living in Tucson, Arizona at the time, at the nice temple they have there. And he had congestive heart failure. And it's a really interesting disease which kind of stops your airflow the way it worked with him. He couldn't breathe. And then sometimes he would be able to catch his breath and avoid that particular attack. So in one of those attacks, afterwards, he took prasadam. He was outside looking in the sky, and the other devotee was with him named Navadvipa. He said, Urj, what are you looking at? He goes, I'm looking for the Vaikuntha airship because I'm dying. When are they going to come and pick me up, right? He was very fixed on understanding that that's what was going to happen. He was the temple commander in Los Angeles from 1973 till, I forget exactly, 76. Then he went to New York, and he was one of the bhakti leader there also in Los Angeles. And he would stand right by Prabhupada, right next to his head like this, and he would watch Prabhupada. And he would write down everything that Prabhupada said, and then he would give a second class to all the people that were doing duties or who were falling asleep during class, and he would have a second class about what Prabhupada would say. So he was very fixed on understanding that Prabhupada was definitely going to take him back home, back to Godhead, because of his dedication to him. So when he passed away, they found his body with a Xerox of a copy of the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's. I think it's 100 names or some 100 and something names of Lord Chaitanya, that he was reciting those when he left. And because he wasn't from Texas and he was in Arizona, they took a few days to let his body out of the process to get cremated. So we waited from Sunday till Friday, and then we had the ceremony. And so when they had a table set up in the room with his pictures there, and when I walked into the room, I could feel his presence so strongly, it was shocking. And then they asked me to lead the group, which is, I went to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was like glowing like the sun. It was like really present, and it was very shocking. And I realized, wow, Prabhupada's come here to take Urjaswat back. They're both here right now. The presence was so unbelievably powerful. So I was like, yes, it's true. If we dedicate ourselves, the spiritual master is definitely going to come and take us back to Godhead. Some of you know from a few years ago of the Vaikuntha players. There was one devotee named Mother Rasagya. Any of you remember her? Lloyd Taksha was her husband. She passed away in Texas several years ago. One of the bhaktins that she had trained up how to do Sankirtan had a dream where the beautiful deity of Krishna in Spain, at the farm there in Spain, I don't remember his name exactly, but he came to this lady, this Mataji, the Sankirtan devotee's dream, and asked her, would you please tell Mother Rasagya that when it's time for her to leave her body, that I'm personally going to come and take her back home, back to Godhead, and tell her I especially appreciated when she used to warm up my clothes before she put them on me. Because the pujari room was obviously like a stone room or something with no heat. So she used to iron the deity's clothes before she put them on them to heat the clothes up. So she was so personal. So my friend, we went to go see her about a month before she left. And a friend of mine, Adani Aswababa, who's now living in Delhi and kind of retiring near Vrindavan there, he was there with some other devotees chanting, doing kirtan when she left. So we have a lot of those amazing, hundreds and hundreds of stories everybody knows about. The wonderful passing of so many Vaishnavas, and how wonderful it is that they leave without fear, and they leave. Like her husband, Lloyd Taksha, they went to Vrindavan, I don't know what year it was. It was back in the 80s. Maybe it was the late 80s. Anyway, she thought he was leaving, but she didn't feel like running around to try and find devotees to do kirtan, but a cow came next to their room. And she was singing kirtan because there were kind of a few blocks away or something from where all the devotees were, and she didn't want to get up in case he left. So she just continued chanting for him. And as she was singing, he woke up and he sat up a little bit and he said, "Oh," he goes, "do you see all the beautiful, beautiful people that are coming to get me? Do you see them?" And she's looking like, she couldn't see them, but he could see like a reception group coming to get him, you know, coming to take him from Vrindavan. So there's so many beautiful pastimes of devotees. Some of you may remember Mother Kirtida that was here for a while. She left her body in Dallas, and she was having these visions of Krishna's pastimes, of Krishna combing Radharani's hair and different. She was seeing different pastimes when we brought her into the temple room on a hospital bed for, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Vyas Puja. And she was in the back, and she was telling the devotee that was taking care of her, Padaduli, she goes, "Oh," she said, "Kalachanji is wearing a different outfit than what you're seeing. He's wearing a beautiful white outfit, and he's dancing with Radharani on the altar." And she was seeing all these things, and so she left like a couple of days after that, which was like a really powerful experience for us. We're having kirtans every night there, and all day, you know, we're having kirtan there and reading and like that. So that was a really, kind of brought together our whole community at that point. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, and Shivaram Maharaj was calling to talk to her, and Giriraj Maharaj was calling, all these different devotees were calling, and she was very thin when she was normal. But when she was getting ready to leave, she had some kind of cancer, I think it was liver cancer finally, amongst other things. And all of her friends would come in that knew her, that worked with her. She was a nurse for many, many years. And they were shocked because her body was just skin and bones. Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Ki Shri Gunatari. So on one occasion, I was there leading some kirtan, and her friends came in, and they started crying. They said, "How are you doing? How are you doing?" They're all shocked just to see her. She goes, "I'm in so much of ecstasy right now." And they were like shocked because she was so skinny, but she's like, "I'm in so much ecstasy right now." And we're like, wow. Yeah, and it felt like Vrindavan there in the room. It was really, really powerful, all the kirtan. And one night she came and said, "I'm leaving." So the whole community showed up all night for this rocking kirtan, and she didn't leave. So one of the devotees asked her, "What happened?" She said, "Well, Krishna and Balaram came, and they looked at me, but they didn't say anything. So I don't know." So anyway, it got the community together, and like maybe three nights later, at around 3 a.m., something like that, she left. But so actually, it becomes a happy spiritual event, kind of in a sense. You know, it's both unhappy and happy, but it was ecstatic being there in the kirtan with, you know, the devotees there, and she was in ecstasy, and it was like, wow. I was like, the whole atmosphere was really surcharged, and so it was really amazing. So we can't even imagine what Bhishma Dev was going through, right? He's there looking Krishna right in the face and remembering all of Krishna's pastimes on the battlefield. So it's important to remember the pastimes of Krishna and our experiences with our transcendental experiences as devotees, to regularly remember and meditate and remember all these things. And coming up is the big Rath Yatra. So the Rath Yatra is so powerful that if you actually remember a Rath Yatra at the time of death, you can go back to Godhead also. I think it's called samskara, right? The big impressions we get of powerful spiritual events in our lives, that those are so powerful that if the Lord allows us to remember those things at the time of death, then we get to go back home. So he's providing these opportunities left and right. We have Rath Yatra ceremonies. We have so many festivals all over the world. We have at the end of every chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read the end of the chapter, it says, and whoever reads this chapter gets, you know, to go back home, back to Godhead, or gets, you know, becomes purified and attains love of Godhead or whatever. So we have a lot of impetus and a lot of encouragement to face the time of death in a courageous spiritual way. And that, you see, is completely different from everybody else, for the most part. There's a lot of people don't have the happiness that the devotees have at the time of death. People are sometimes shocked at the devotees for being so enthusiastic at the time of death. And kirtan's going on there. They criticize, even I was watching some of Guna Grimar's Facebook comments as he was leaving his body, and the kirtan was so loud, the people were like, leave him alone. Why are you screaming so loud? And they don't understand, you know, it's like, here's this ecstatic kirtan, this person's in, he's already totally absorbed in spiritual consciousness, and then, you know, you leave your body like that, so it's like, back home, back to Godhead. So we shouldn't think like that. We shouldn't criticize. Oh, we should let them die in peace. No, we should let them die with a rocking kirtan, surrounded by devotees with prasadam and everything, you know. So anyway, what time is it? So I kind of wanted just to say those things that, you know, we need to remember, like Bhishma Dev did. We need to meditate. We need to have these experiences of Rath Yatras, and need to have experiences of our festivals. We need to have loving relationships with devotees so that we can have the proper association to encourage us at the time of death. And then we'll be, it'll be easy instead of difficult. How many of us have seen devotees leave their bodies? Was it a good experience? Right? It was always wonderful. The devotees are so transcendental. They see things differently. They know they're not the body. This is the main disease of material society, is that we think we're this body. So the devotees, sometimes when they go through the death experience, they have to go through a little denial first. They have to go through some pain of accepting the fact that they're going to leave. But then they settle into that and they, right? I've seen that before, where people didn't really think they were going to go, and then they had to catch up and realize that it was really their time to go. So these things are important to discuss. That's why they're here in the Bhagavatam. And if anybody has anything they want to add or correct, please do so now. If anybody wants to add any pastime or any experience they have about this, please say something.